What we want to look at this morning is this about eternal and everlasting life. Let's read here in Deuteronomy chapter 33 first, and the Old Testament speaks of this from the standpoint of its source. Brother Moses has come to the end of his life, and he's not old and decrepit. He's viable and fit and everything, but he's disobeyed God. And there's going to be another that's going to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. And Brother Moses preaches one more message of blessing over the children of Israel before he goes up into the mount to go on to be with the Lord. And it says in chapter 33 of Deuteronomy that this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And we come over here to verses 26 through the end of the chapter. And here's what our brother preaches unto them and to us this morning. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. There's none like him. And he's the same God that has saved us and that we worship today. We need to hang on to that as we live. The eternal God is thy refuge. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Everlasting. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon the land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency? Who is it? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Also, we want to take a look in Isaiah chapter 45, and this is the extent to which we'll consider the subject over here in the Old Testament. In Isaiah 45, Brother Isaiah is called to prophesy regarding Cyrus, and we're studying about Cyrus in our look-see at the book of Haggai on Wednesday nights, and getting the context of those prophecies of Brother Haggai in the book of Ezra. Thus saith the Lord unto his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand have I holden, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. So that's the context of this chapter. Come over here to verse number 15. Verily thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. He's the Savior. They shall be ashamed and also confounded, all of them, the enemies. They shall go to confusion together that are the makers, that are makers of idols. And understand, let us remember that we don't have a problem so much with graven idols, but we do have a problem with idols, ideas as idols, and tradition as idols, and stuff as idols. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. Isn't that an interesting phrase? Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, no confusion, no misunderstanding, world without end, an everlasting salvation. Eternal and everlasting. Anybody that's has the right heart and has the right mind would understand that eternal means eternal. That means forever, no ending. Anybody that has their understanding and wit about them would understand that everlasting means just that, lasting forever. Yet the religious world, the secular world, the carnal world, the way of man says, There's nothing eternal. There's a living and a thought that there is, but we know full well we all die. And then the religious world says that you can be saved, but you can lose it. That you can be rescued by the Lord, but then it can melt and go away for some reason. But that's not what the Bible says. And that's what we just want to take a look at this morning. And the evidence in the Scripture is overwhelming. Here in the Old Testament, we've read these verses that tell about God and how He is the eternal God. And His arms are everlasting arms, arms of rescue, arms of support, arms of guidance. And that He saves, the context here in Isaiah, I understand it's the salvation of the nation of Israel, of Jacob's descendants, okay? The salvation of the nation. But understand about His salvation, it is everlasting. When He saves forevermore. And that salvation of His nation will be accomplished by the salvation of individuals that are His, and that He will, has, and will save. So the life of the Almighty, let's think about this. The life of the Almighty, how long does it last? Well, we come to the book of Matthew and we see here what Jesus says. You know, there's no greater authority than hearing what the Lord Jesus Christ says. And Brother Stephen has recently gone over this passage. And it says here in verse number 31, "And when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit on the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on the right hand, the goats on the left." Speaking about judgment and the distinction in judgment. The end of this, we see, is in verse number 46, and he tells about the believing and the unbelieving, and those that looked to Him in His way and those that did not, that just discounted His way, thought the way of the world was the way that it is. And he says here in verse 46, this is the words of Jesus, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, the disobedient, the rebellious, the self-willed, but the righteous..." Those that have received Christ and those that have received His way and have operated in that way, that's the telling. You know, how is it that the redeemed are known? They believe. They obey. They persevere in the Lord. But the righteous into life eternal. Jesus says that the life that He has is eternal life. In chapter 4 of John, here with the woman of the well at Sychar, there's a coming away from that for a second as the Lord deals with His disciples. And He speaks to them about His aim in His coming and in His life. They're concerned about the Lord Jesus eating, which is necessary for the body to eat. But in John 4, as the Lord deals with His disciples there, He says in verse number 34, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. The Father has sent me, and my meat, my nourishment, is to do what the Father has given me to do, and to finish His work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth." So here Jesus says is that the work of the Lord that the saved are called unto is a work that in the end will bring life eternal. It's not an iffy kind of thing. It's not a circumstantial kind of thing in that, well, You mess up, it's done and it's over. No, life in him is eternal life. When the Lord speaks about life, he speaks it about it being eternally. John chapter 10, take a look here. About it being eternal. Here, the picture that we're given is about a shepherd and his sheep. And John chapter 10, verse number 24, listen to how Jesus refers to this. Then came the Jews around about him, around Jesus, and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, what I'm doing, these works. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Verse number 28, and I give unto them eternal life. Yeah, I use this example, and it's a bad example, but it's an example I think that it gets the point across. All of us that drive cars or have any kind of vehicles, and some of you have tractors and different kind of things like that, and some have golf carts. I mean, anything that's got a battery in it, you just have signed up to buy batteries. That's the way that batteries are. You know a battery is just not going to last. That's just the way it is. Maybe you get a vehicle battery and you get that 5-year warranty, 3-year replacement, 2-year prorate. Okay, that's if you're doing good these days. But if you're driving a vehicle, you've signed up to buy batteries. But if I told you that I was going to provide for you an everlasting battery, an eternal battery for your truck, Brother Bobby. Brother Bobby says, wait till I get my other truck back. If I'm going to give you an everlasting battery, an eternal battery, what's your expectation? You'll never have to buy a battery for that vehicle again. You'll be able to take that battery and pass it on down to your kids, pass it on down to your grandkids. If it's an everlasting and an eternal battery, it'll just keep on going and going and going and going and going. It's everlasting. Why would we not have any problem understanding that? But when it comes to life in Jesus, the world and the religious world says, no, everlasting doesn't mean everlasting. You're in danger of losing it. But Jesus says, I give unto them my sheep that hear me. That's how they're known to be the sheep. They hear his words. He gives unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. They cannot be taken away from me. In John chapter 12, verse number 44, here's another occasion. And this is the way that Jesus refers to life. And Jesus cried and said, John 12:44, He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. That's reiterated, and this is actually a reiteration of what the Lord said in John chapter 3. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. The word that's to be heard and received from Jesus. The word that will judge if that very word is rejected. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. What the Father has given the Son to proclaim, that he has proclaimed and does proclaim, even through his people, his churches today, That word, that commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. So the life of the Almighty, how long is it? When Jesus refers to life, when this of the New Testament age and the ministry, the coming of our Lord Jesus, and when God became a man, whose name is Jesus, and we know and understand to be the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. He is the Savior. When he speaks about life, he speaks about it being eternal. The life that he gives to his own. Our Lord Jesus, he's in a great strain. His humanity is being shown in the gospel here as John writes about it. And as he bows to pray in Gethsemane, this is how the Lord's Prayer begins as he prays unto the Father in that hour, in that night, as our sins will be loaded up upon him. He declares this. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and that they might know Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That's how sinners are saved. That's how sinners are rescued, is by knowing Jesus Christ. Not knowing about Jesus Christ, but knowing him. About knowing the Father who sent the Son for the purpose that he did. And that he has this power over all flesh to give eternal life to those that the Father has given him. This is life eternal, that they might know us. Not religion, not a creed, not a list of doctrines per se, not a pile of orthodoxy, but to know the Lord through his Son. Life eternal. Life eternal indeed. That's what Jesus says about the life of the Almighty. How long does it last? Well, it's everlasting. And it is eternal. Time, it is not subject to time or to ending in any way. What do the apostles say? Well, they say the same thing, as you do expect and know. In Acts chapter 13, we see here Brother Paul in Antioch and Pisidia. And Brother Doug touched upon this in his study of Barnabas. I encourage you to be here for Sunday school. There's teaching that goes on and things that you and I need to know in the Scriptures. It'll be a blessing unto us. Don't look at Sunday school as optional. Be here for Sunday school. And so Paul and Barnabas and Saul are sent out, and they're here in Antioch and Pisidia up in Asia Minor. And they're preaching Jesus and witnessing to folks, and there's the folks that are being challenged here about their way, and then they go on up here into Asia Minor, and in verse number 45 we pick it up here, and it says, but when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy because of the things that had been preached in the previous week, and they wanted those same things preached to them again, and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Verse 46, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it is necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken unto you, the Jews at the synagogue. But seeing you put it from you, listen, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. You have just made a stand against yourselves by rejecting the preaching that Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah, is the Savior, and that he accomplished everything that the Old Testament scriptures said that the Father would send him to do, since you reject all of that, you reject everlasting life for yourselves. You've rejected it. You've not received it. You've rejected it. Judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. We're going to turn over here to a people that the Lord has promised us will receive it. Everlasting life. There's no humming and hawing about it. There's no misunderstanding regarding it, that life from the Lord is everlasting and eternal. In Romans chapter 2, Brother Paul writing to this church at Rome, and I like doing this in a subject like this, just to go right on down the line, that we might see, that we might be assured, that we might be reminded how many times this is referenced this way. Our minds can become fuzzy and foggy. We can forget, and we need to be reminded. And maybe you're here and you've never heard. You've never heard in such a pointed way that the life that the Lord gives is eternal and everlasting. In Romans chapter 2, here Paul speaking about our inexcusability, that of man, whether a Jew or whether a Gentile, and he's challenging more the Jews. We pick it up in verse 6, who will render to every man according to his deeds, the Lord will, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. That's not talking about folks working for that, but they're looking to the Lord and His Savior because that is the promise. That is the salvation. That's the end of the salvation of the soul, is eternal life, immortality. You know, the Greeks and the Romans and all of their mythology and everything, they were looking and grappling and seeking for immortality. Folks that... in our nation, folks over in the Far East, they have been looking. Man has been looking for immortality because everybody ends up in the coffin. Everybody ends up being carried to the grave. It's in man to live, and there's only one way to live eternally, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. What's he say? He goes on to say there, but unto them that are contentious, disobedient to the word of the Lord, and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, they obey indignation, or they obey unrighteousness, and to them is indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But rather the other, but glory, honor, peace, to every man that worketh good. And that's talking not about a work salvation. That's talking about obedience to the command and word of God. To the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. There's only one way to eternal life, which we'll delve into. But the life that is given is eternal life. It says in Romans, verse number 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, that is Adam, so by the obedience of one, that is Christ, shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound, and where sin abounded, grace, the gifts of God did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace, the gifts of God, reign through righteousness unto eternal life, by Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life. You know, it's not a bait and switch by the Lord. Say eternal, say everlasting, and then do like a man, and then you find out it's not. It is eternal and everlasting. In Romans chapter 6, there in verses 22 and 23, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. On and on and on. the apostles write and speak about the author of eternal salvation, our Lord Jesus Christ, in the book of Hebrews. Our hope of eternal life, which is a no-so hope, not a lottery kind of hope. Maybe you'll win, most likely you'll not. It's not talking about that kind of hope, but a no-so hope. In Galatians, as he writes to those churches, that those that sow to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That's the way it is with our Lord. And Brother John, in his epistle, he has much to say unto us about it. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, has shown unto us eternal life. We are promised even eternal life. And he writes to us there, as Brother Stephen preached over at Sunnyview in this epistle, a wonderful message there the other night. That ye may know, he writes unto us, that we might know we have eternal life in our Lord Jesus Christ. And the chapter, the book is wrapped up in 1 John 5:20, that Jesus Christ, and this of him being sent by God, by the Father, and knowing him and the truth that is in him, this is the true God and eternal life. Brother Jude can't finish in his short epistle without saying something about it. That we look for our Lord Jesus Christ into eternal life. It's eternal. It's everlasting. Salvation by the Lord is without end. When you're a possessor of eternal life, of life in the Lord, it is eternal and everlasting. There is something else, though, that is eternal, and that is everlasting damnation. That is eternal indeed. Brother Isaiah speaks about that in Isaiah 33 and verse number 14. The sinners in Zion are afraid, and they should be. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who amongst us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who amongst us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? You know, I pray that it's no one that's here tonight, today in the house, that no one spends eternity in hell in the lake of fire forever, eternally paying for their sins. What we're told about in the scriptures does not describe unto us the horror and the terror and the eternalness of hell in the lake of fire. And we, as the Lord's people and His children, we need to have a concern about that, to pray for folks and to speak to them of their need, to let them know that we care about them and that we desire their salvation. We cannot save them. But without Christ, without everlasting life, what they're facing is everlasting death. Everlasting death. And it is very clear in the Scripture that you and I are the means to carry the truth unto them, to let them know that there is someone that loves their souls, to let them know that there is a wrath to flee from. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse number 8, "Wherefore if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than to having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire." We have some in our day that claim to be Baptists that deny the fires of eternal hell and the lake of fire. But the Lord in the Scripture makes it very, very clear that eternal place of torment is real. And Cain is there today. Judas is there today. And they are burning, and they will burn eternally there because of the rejection of the Lord, of the Savior, of the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 25, and as we've read earlier, "Then shall he say to them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Verse 46, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." Don't go to hell. Don't go to hell in the lake of fire. by your rejection of the Lord, but hear the word and commandment of the Lord. The brothers, not only the Lord Jesus Christ speaks about this in the Gospels, but also certainly the apostles do, as they write, the wicked shall be punished with everlasting destruction, we're told in 2 Thessalonians 1:9. And that will be from the presence of the Lord. And in Hebrews chapter 6, there is that teaching and that preaching that the writer of that is looking to move on from. But one of the things, one of the doctrines that he mentions is that of eternal judgment. And Brother Jude, he declares that as Sodom and Gomorrah were burned up because they went after strange flesh and the wicked fornication that they pursued, that that's just set forth as an example because they suffered in the vengeance of eternal fire, and that fire exists to sinners that reject the Lord. Everlasting life. Everlasting destruction. So what does the Lord say about how to obtain eternal and everlasting life? What does He say? What is it, not what men say, but what is it that our Lord Jesus says? In Matthew chapter 19, let's hear what He says here. The account, and it's in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, this account, and all of the Word of God is important, but I tell you what, when you get a triple emphasis on any subject, you know it's really important, okay? And so that's something that we can learn and understand from the Scriptures. In Matthew chapter 19, verse number 16, and behold, one came unto Jesus and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So this man's to the point. What can I do that I might have eternal life? The Lord Jesus says, there's none good. Why do you call me good? There's none good but the Father, but God. Says, keep the commandments. He says, well, which ones? The Lord says, well, don't murder anybody. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Honor your folks. Love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said, I've done all this, but I still lack. I know within myself that I lack something. And Jesus said to him, well, if you'll be perfect, He says, you go sell what you've got. You go give it all to the poor. And you come and get the thing that you don't have. You come and follow me. Jesus told him, one thing you lack. One thing you lack. The man heard that and he went away sorrowful because he had a lot of stuff. See, all of his stuff was his idol. That's what he trusted in. He didn't see that that was a good trade to give up all of his stuff to come and follow Jesus. The thing is when somebody is given understanding from the word of the Lord and the truth and the command of the Lord, the word of the Lord, they understand that there's nothing that compares to Jesus. Because in him is everlasting life. Remember how the Lord Jesus tells about the pearl of great price, where a man took everything he had, all those other pearls that he had collected, everything else he had, and he went, and when he sold all that, he went and bought that pearl of great price. That's not talking about a man. That's a parable. That's not talking about a man buying salvation. But that's talking about a man abandoning all that he ever had that he might have Jesus. One thing you lack, son. There's one thing that you lack, and what you lack is me, Jesus says. If you're here and you're not saved, that's what you lack. You lack the Lord Jesus Christ, and you need him, because in him, and only in him, is found eternal and everlasting life. We see in Matthew chapter 19, or here continuing in Matthew chapter 19, in verse number 27, Peter says, well, we've left everything. What are we going to have? And listen to what he says. And Jesus said unto them, verse 28, verily I say unto you, because see, Peter has said, well, we've forsaken all. We've left it all behind. We followed you. What are we going to have? Peter kind of lapsing back. He's content being there with the Lord, but in this perspective, he's looking for an answer. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon twelve thrones. You know what? With an honest question, Jesus is given an honest answer. And it's just like this curtain here that we have here at the baptistry. Jesus is grabbing hold of the curtain, and he's pulling it back. Ask a question, you get an answer. And that's what the Lord's doing. What do you think that Peter and the other apostles did when the Lord said they're going to sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel? I figure it probably looks something like this. They marveled, had no thought. That's the way it is with those that have the Lord Jesus Christ and have everlasting eternal life. What the Lord has in store for us, the Scripture says that you and I can't even think of it, that you and I can't even imagine what it'll be, that we have no ability to perceive it, we have no ability to conceive the greatness of what the Lord has in store for His children. It's beyond that. Because, see, in Jesus is everlasting life. Verse 29, and everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sakes, and I believe this says in Mark or Luke, or it says it in Mark or Luke, my sake in the Gospels shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. That's what Jesus says. Following Him, obeying Him. In Luke chapter 10, it says here that a certain lawyer stood up. He's wanting to tempt the Lord. He's trying to snag Him in His words. And listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ says here. What is it that Jesus says about how to obtain, how can one obtain eternal and everlasting life? You need Jesus. You need Him. You need everything about Him. What's He say here? This is what Jesus says. Luke chapter 10, verse number 25, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted Jesus, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So this man's coming at it from the standpoint of wanting to snag the Lord. The other man, I think he really desired it, but then he got in the straight with his stuff. This man is looking to be a trickster. But Jesus still tells the answer. You know what He told him? He said he laid all the commandments out before him. And the Lord said, you've answered right. Do that and you'll live. But the man willing to justify himself to Jesus in verse 29 of Luke 10, he said, well, who's my neighbor? Love your neighbor as yourself. So then he tells about the man that fell among thieves, right? Tells about the Levite. Tells about the priest. They went around the long way. They wouldn't even touch the man laying there in the ditch. But the Samaritan, that half-breed Jew, half-Gentile, Jew-Gentile, he saw the man and he had compassion on him. He bound up his wounds. He put him on his own beast. He took him to the inn. He paid the innkeeper to take care of him. And he says, you know what? I'm going to check on him, too. I'm going to check back on him, too. And if it costs any more, I'll take care of you. I'll pay you. And Jesus says, the man asked him, who's my neighbor? And Jesus tells this account. And he says, which of those three was neighbor unto the one that fell among thieves? The lawyer is asked, who's my neighbor? And Jesus said, ask him, after telling this account, who was neighbor unto the man that was in the ditch? He said, he that showed mercy on him. And Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise. How can I obtain eternal life? Be merciful. That's what Jesus said. I'm not making anything up. It's what Jesus said, be merciful. You know, the only way you can be merciful is having the Lord Jesus as your Savior. It's the only way a person can be merciful, is having experienced the mercy of the Lord. In John chapter 3, very familiar passage, very familiar passage unto us there, where the Lord is dealing with Nicodemus. And we read this, and it's interesting how it's here together. Nicodemus doesn't understand about being born again, so the Lord changes his tact, and he says, and reminds him about how the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, and that he's got to be lifted up too, and whosoever looks to him. The command was, look and live at the serpent. Look and live. And now Jesus is going to be lifted up, and this command is the same, look and live. And he says here in verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be crucified, lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. Looking unto Jesus, believing that Jesus can save you, believing that Jesus can heal you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Eternal life and everlasting life. Right there in the same two verses. That it might be clear that in Jesus is found everlasting life. Believe in Jesus. Be merciful by Jesus. And the thing that we lack is Jesus. What's it say in the last verse of this chapter, in verse 36? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. What's it say? He that believeth on the Son unto the salvation of the soul. Not believing about, not a historical figure, but believing on him, on the Son. On the Son. So here we see that Jesus says, believe on the Son of God. He says in chapter 4 about drinking of the water. Remember the woman at the well there, Sychar, in verse number 14. You drink that water out of Jacob's well, you're going to get thirsty again. But you drink of the water that I give you, you'll have a water springing up into everlasting life. Drink of Jesus' water. The water that is him. Chapter 5 of John. Verily, verily, verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, hear that he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So what does he say here? Hear Jesus' words and believe on the Father that sent him. You know, that's what I believe. Is that not what you believe, that the Father sent the Son to be my Savior? I mean, that's where it all ends up, is personally. You know, when you say about saving us, that's true, and that's grammatically and factually correct. But when you're talking about the salvation of the soul, what gets down to where the rubber meets the road is that the Father sent the Son to save a wretch like me. And you say that for you. He came and did that for me. A worm and unworthy and wretched, miserable and blind. He came to save me. In that same chapter, in John chapter 5, verse number 39, Jesus says, search the Scriptures. For in them, he told those Jews, you think you have eternal life. And that's the way it is with the religious world. They search and search and search the Scriptures and search the Scriptures. And then they say eternal doesn't mean eternal. Say that everlasting doesn't mean everlasting. Search and search and search the Scriptures. Jesus said, those Scriptures are they are they which testify of me. Jesus says, believe the Scriptures that tell only of Jesus and his salvation. And you know what Peter answered in John chapter 6? Then Simon Peter answered him, the Lord Jesus. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. That was Peter's answer to if they would go away. Jesus says in John 6 also earlier in verse 27, don't labor for the meat, the lunch that we're going to have. Don't labor for the meat that perishes, but labor for the meat that endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Labor for the meat that never spoils and never goes away. That is Jesus. That is Jesus and the life that he is. In John chapter 6, also there in verse number 40, the will of the Father that sent him is that everyone which sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. See the Son of God for who he is. See, there's many that see Jesus, but they don't see him for who he is. He's the Son of God. He's not a good man that was maybe a little bit of a prophet and did some good things. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. He's the Messiah professed by the Old Testament scriptures. Partake of him there in John chapter 6. Eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And it's not talking about cannibalism. It's not talking about transubstantiation in the Lord's Supper. It's talking about fully partaking of Christ. Internally receiving him. He's promised he'll raise us up at the last day. In John chapter 12, he says, whosoever loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Lose your life for Jesus and his gospel's sake. I tell you what, I know you all are convinced, but it just goes on and on and on what the scripture says about it. So it is with the apostles. In Acts chapter 13, Paul declares, believe the word of the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, believe on the King eternal. Brother Titus, the epistle to him that Brother Paul writes, in Titus chapter 1, to acknowledge the truth which is after godliness, that's manifested in his word through preaching. See, the word of the Lord is preached, and sinners acknowledge the truth, which is after godliness. Believe Jesus' word that is preached and acknowledge the truth of that same word. And then Brother John, his epistle in 1 John, he writes there, and this is the record, 1 John 5:11, that God hath given unto us eternal life. You know, in all those cases, wasn't it just written life? Because there needed to be clarity, because it's a spiritual affair. It is eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Receive eternal life in the Son given to sinners. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In conclusion, eternal and everlasting life comes from the eternal and everlasting God and his Son. As we started off in Deuteronomy 33:27, the eternal God is thy refuge. And he is. He's the only refuge. And underneath are the everlasting. Underneath who? Underneath us. Underneath the children, underneath the saved, are the everlasting arms. The arms of the Lord, the arms of the Lord Jesus that carry us, that shepherd, that great shepherd of the sheep, that carries his sheep, that delivers his sheep, that have taken his sheep and pulled them out of the muck and mire of sin and set them on the solid rock that is himself. He's washed us. He's cleaned us up. He's made us his own. Brother Isaiah declared in Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. That's the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. In Isaiah 40:28, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. Eternal and everlasting life comes from the eternal and everlasting God and his Son. And then in Micah 5:2, but thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. The Father and the Son are everlasting. That's how he can give everlasting life. It's the only kind of life that the Lord can give, is everlasting life.